as our deacons are being seated, I'll explain to you in the next few minutes what we're going to be doing. I've asked Daniel to stay up at the piano. We're going to have a time of self-examination and an openness to prayer, and during which time Miss Sandy's going to play the organ. And then when I pray, I want to ask Daniel to lead us through the song again, Nothing But the Blood. Now, there's two things I want. It's going to be very simple. I want us to sing it. There's two things I want you to think about. And it's preparation of our heart for the table as we come in gratitude and remembrance. Here's the reality of the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And hence, we have this beautiful song to remind us of that. But I don't know if you ever pay attention to this. But I do every time we sing congregationally. To hear your brothers and sisters in the Lord singing, to listen to their heart cry, the reason that we are one has nothing to do with our color of our skin, it has nothing to do with the socioeconomic or linguistic issues of life, it has everything to do with the one who loved us and gave himself for us, and to hear the family of God singing together, to remind ourselves that my brother and my sister are forever with me. And so we're going to do that in preparation for the table because I think there's nothing more honoring to God than that, that we would remember him in the table and remember all that he's done so that we might call him Lord and call each other brother and sister in Christ. The Bible's very clear, 1 Corinthians 11 and other places, that to come to the table of the Lord is always, first and foremost, a time of self-examination. It is a time to examine ourselves for two realities. The first reality is clear. That is that we are to see within ourselves, in conversation with the Holy Spirit, and not deceiving ourselves, to see whether we are in the faith. Do we really believe in and live by faith in the Son of God who loves us and gave himself for us? You know, when I was a young Christian, it was the one thing I could always point to because I had so much to learn. And to be honest with you, I'd been more years in the world than I was in Christ. I was a babe in Christ. And the one thing that I would always cling to when I'd come to the table as I was growing in the Lord in those early days was to be reminded that in spite of all of my failings and frailties, the one thing I knew for sure was that I was saved by the blood of the Lamb. And so we ought to always examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith. Not whether we know about the faith, not whether we know about this or know about that, but whether we truly know him, or more importantly, whether he calls us his own. Does he know us? You remember in the sheep and the goats judgment, when the goats say, we did all these things in your name, you remember what the Lord Jesus said in response, depart from me, I never knew you. And so we always seek to examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith. But secondly, the other issue is to see whether or not we are in that faith and living the life that he's called us to live for his glory. That's the examination of our sanctification, to see whether we are growing in grace, whether there's any sin that is in our lives that is displeasing to the Lord. When I was first learning to wash clothes, I use this illustration. Some of you ladies are going to laugh. I learned something very simple. Not everything gets washed in hot water. I learned that. Here's the second thing I learned. You never wash white clothes with red clothes. And when I did that, I had this wonderful pink T-shirts. Because even though supposedly, they didn't have colors that ran. There was always that little bit of taint in the red dye that would get in the water and make your white clothes just slightly pink. Well, the same is true in our lives as believers. We have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. We are white as snow. But because in this life, we still have a sin nature. We've not yet been delivered from its presence. We've been delivered from its power and its penalty, but we've not yet been delivered from its presence. And so sometimes in the course of life, like that white t-shirt that's washed with that red shirt, it has just a little bit of pink in it. And nobody else may know it, but guys, tell me if I'm telling you the truth. If you've ever had to wear a pink t-shirt under your clothes, you know it's pink. It's not white. You know it's pink. And you're afraid of having to go into the gym and wear your pink t-shirt. Well, it's true with our spiritual life. Nobody else may know there's some pink in the white, but the Holy Spirit does. And we ought to examine ourselves to see if, as David prayed long ago, search me, O God. Look at my heart and see if there be any crooked way within me. That's why I had Phil read 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 and following to chapter 2, verse 2. John acknowledges that we are people who have sin. Notice what he says. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say we don't have any sin, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So my little children, I'm writing to you these things that you may not sin. He's saying that though we have pink in this life, that taint is still there, the presence is still there, and sometimes we give into it. It is not where we live, it's not totally characteristic of our life. So we must acknowledge that reality. He said, but I'm writing to you to encourage you not to give in to that part of your life, to reject the old nature and walk in newness of life. But don't you love how he encourages us in the Holy Spirit? But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. In other words, when we stumble, when we fail, we have someone pleading our case. Not just anyone, look at verse 2. He himself is the propitiation for our sin. He is the payment. His blood paid for our sins. And so as we come to this time of self-examination, we come to the Lord and we ask him to reveal to us if there be any crooked path within us. Is there any sin that I have embraced, whether in action or attitude, whether in word or deed? Is there anything in my life that is displeasing to the Lord? Not that's going to keep me from being saved. He says, he writes to us as his little children, the Lord Jesus, but those of us who are his children. I love watching little children, and I love watching my nieces and nephews, and one of the things that when I go visit my little grandnieces and grandnephews when they were little, and they were just having a good time in life, and then they would make a mistake, and it was a big, something would knock over the glass and spill water all over the counter or whatever. Here's what they would always look at you and go, uh-oh. Uh-oh. Well, spiritually speaking, sometimes we need to come to the Lord and say, uh-oh. I failed in this area, Lord, and it's not pleasing to you. I confess it to you. It's not pleasing to you. I agree with you that it's sin and it separates me from you. And I come to you on the basis of the Lord Jesus that you would forgive me and cleanse me. And so as we bow our heads during this time, it says, let each man examine himself. Let each person examine themselves. I'm not your examiner. I'm not your inquisitor. This is between you and the Holy Spirit and the Heavenly Father. And if the Holy Spirit reveals something within you, whether it's an attitude, whether it's an action, whether it's something you've done, whether it's something you should have done and didn't do, whatever it is, before we come to the table, during these moments, let's go before the Father together and ask for his forgiveness. Heavenly Father, we come to this time of the table of your Son. We do this in remembrance of what he has done for us. Because of his incarnation and crucifixion, because of the shedding of his blood, sin is atoned for. And so, Father, we praise you and thank you that we are your children in his name. But, Father, your word teaches us that even as children, we fail. We are not alienated from your presence, but we are not in your approval, whether it's in our heart, whether it's in wrong desires or wrong motives, whether it's in wrong action, whether it's in sinning with our lips, speaking evil. And Father, whether it's desiring the wrong thing even. In this world, we must confess that we sin. It is to our shame, it is not for your glory. It is where we choose for that moment to be idolatrous and prefer sin to your approval. We agree with you that sin is worthy of death. It is worthy of separation eternally from the living God. It is cosmic treason. And worse yet, for those of us who know you, it's sinning in the face of the light of the grace of God. It's being presumptuous. It's presuming on your grace. It is sin. And Father, we come before you. Your Holy Spirit knows which is in each of our hearts. And as we come before you, we ask for your forgiveness. Father, we would pray that you would even work so mightily in our hearts that even the very desire to sin would be removed. That you would create a hedge around us. That like Job of old, that the enemy would have to say to you that you have placed a hedge around him and he cannot get in. And so, Father, we ask for cleansing. We ask that you would see us through the blood of thy Son, who made payment for our sin on Calvary. You call him in your word our propitiation, the one who turns aside the wrath of God. Destine us not for wrath, Father, but for your pleasure. In Jesus, we ask that you would just do a fresh work of grace in all of our hearts and lives, that as we come to this table, we would come once again with joy unspeakable and hearts filled with gratitude, that you would change the leopard's spots, that you would transform us yet again by the same power that saves us. That same power would transform us day by day, more and more in the image of your dear Son, who loved us and gave himself for us. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. And God's people say, amen. As Daniel plays and we sing Nothing But the Blood, you want to come and kneel at the altar? You may do so. If you just want to bow where you are, you may do so. But let's worshipfully pray this back to God and listen to the song of heaven as we gather as the people of God on earth. Daniel, let's sing together. Because of that blood, this we do in remembrance of Him. And until the Lord Jesus returns, the church will remember what He did for us as our deacons come. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to each of his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to each one of them and said, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood that establishes the covenant. It is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. But I tell you, from this moment I will not drink of the fruit of this vine until that day when I drink it anew with you in a new way in my Father's kingdom with you." After singing the psalms, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we come before you and we thank you for the incarnation. We thank you for his body by which he identifies with us as human beings. And we thank you for the blood that he shed on Calvary's tree as he hung between heaven and earth as though belonging to neither and yet bringing both together in his own person. Father, as we come to the table of the Lord, help us to remember what he did for us. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat it. This is my body." Heavenly Father, we thank you for that bread of life which came down from heaven, that manna, that spiritual food, the body of the Lord Jesus, that in his body he took on our sin and made sacrifice so that we might call you Father. We bless you now as we partake of the bread. In Jesus' name, amen. Take and eat it. This is my body. And then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reality that because of the shedding of his blood, he made purchase us from the slave market of sin and redeemed us to you and made propitiation for our sin. And so it is in Jesus' name that we bless you and thank you. Amen. Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood that establishes the covenant. It is shed for many for the forgiveness of sin. But I tell you, from this moment on, I will not drink of the fruit of this vine until that day when I drink it in a new way in my Father's kingdom with you. Until he comes, Maranatha. And God's people say, amen. The Bible says in verse 30, after singing psalms, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Scholars believe that these were the psalms about the Messiah that they sang, about the coming one. We do not sing songs about one who is coming. We sing songs about one who came. Not one who will reconcile people to God, but one who did reconcile his people to God. And so ours is not a song of looking forward. Ours is a song of invitation, that you may come to know him now. Because there will come a day, as he said in the end, that he will drink this anew with us in his Father's kingdom. He will come for his own, and the kingdom will begin to manifest itself on earth as it is in heaven. And as we stand around the room, we always give an invitation. In the Lord's table, you see the gospel before you. You see the incarnation, the one who came and took on a physical body and lived a perfect and sinless life. In the cup, you see the shed blood of the Christ, the Lord Jesus on the cross, making payment for sin. And then you see at the end where he promises to drink it anew with us in his Father's kingdom, the hope that is the resurrection. And whenever the gospel is seen or proclaimed, we always want to give people an opportunity to respond. Those who may never have come to know, who have never come to know the Lord Jesus, if that describes you this morning, come and receive eternal life. Let's share with you how this gospel that's been pictured can be real in your life through the person of the Lord Jesus. Maybe you're looking for a church home. This morning in the first service, one of the most precious saints of God, Mary Ann Sublime, came forward and she said, "You know, I want to join the church. I'm going to move my letter from my home church in San Antonio." So she joined in the first service, saying she wants to be a part of this church family, not just a guest. If that expresses your heart, we would welcome you in the name of the Lord as you come seeking membership in this fellowship. Maybe you want someone to pray with you. You're dealing with some issues. And the altar's open. We promise you this, that not only will the Lord Jesus meet you there in the person of the Holy Spirit, but someone will pray with you as well. Whatever decision you need to make, make it today. Nothing more is necessary, but nothing less is acceptable either. Heavenly Father, this is your invitation. Now, Father, glorify yourself in it, in Jesus' name, as the people of God sing.